Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code, 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
And so, you know, there's a scripture. It's over in here in 1 Corinthians 4, 7. And what I observe is that we receive from our mothers things that God used to shape us. All right? 1 Corinthians 4, 7. What do you have that you did not receive? Okay? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? Okay, now, he's talking about another thing, you know, here. But I want to just pick up on this core truth behind this thing, which is that so much of what makes us us is stuff that we just received. Some of the stuff that we received, you know, maybe we kind of have to deal with it and say, I received that. Maybe I received that and it wasn't a good thing to receive, and maybe I need to give it back. All right? Because I remember, you know, some of the things that I grew up with where, you know, people saying things, people doing things around you, and what you received from it was not good. All right? But the good things, you know, that you start to understand that God has put in you good things, all right? And there's I want to introduce you to it's a very motherly ministry, but it's a ministry that I've really tried to give myself to, which is this whole thing of giving so that a person can receive encouragement. You know, I sat with a young lady, and she wanted to work on something fairly academic. She wanted to work out, she needed to pass a test, and she wanted my help to figure out what she needed to do to pass this test so she could get a job. And it's about 15 minutes in this conversation, and I can realize her greatest need, honestly, wasn't learning how to take that test. It was understanding, you know, who she was, because she'd kind of forgotten. And so I began to just to speak those words of encouragement. And nothing false. I mean, just, you know, speaking things that are true, that I'm looking at this person, I'm realizing they forgot, you know. And this whole idea, you know, of receiving, you know, and then being people who on the other end of the person who needs to receive, you know, I've received, well then, you know, I want to give so that others can receive from me. So we need to be brought up by discipline and instruction that's from the Lord. All right, that's what the word tells us. Over here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, picks on fathers, only because we're good at this, okay? Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. All right, so the picture we have here is if somebody's trying to raise their kids, all right, and they are mostly trying to raise their kids by scaring them into obedience. Okay. Then they're done that, repented of it, and came home. All right. You know, and my children could probably tell you some stories of me, you know, getting through that thing of just wanting to be obedient to the scripture. But then listen to what it says. But bring them up in the discipline and the instruction. So nurture and admonition. All right. And so this idea of nurture was the things that people did to raise you, okay? It was the using the hands to get a hold of you and try to direct you in the right direction. But admonition, and I think this is the one where we're going to spend a little bit more time, is this developed relationship and ability to be able to direct somebody with the word of your mouth. That what you say has this way of entering through the ears, sinking down through, well, it goes through the brain, I guess, right? Because that's next to the ears. But then eventually settling down into somebody's heart to the place where those words that I heard are powerful in me. And they shape me. There are things I will never feel comfortable doing because my mother spoke a word. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I can, I mean, there's several that come to mind, but they're rather personal, and, you know, they're things that, you know, kind of cut to the core of things, and, you know, but just things that she said, you know. I mean, this whole thing of, like, when you're starting to raise a justification for something you've done wrong, that you're more than likely the first time around going to come to a wrong conclusion that says you're right. Now, I learned from my mother that if I thought that, I had another think coming. All right? Okay, so, I mean, you know that word. That's one that she spoke to me. And so whenever I'm, you know, I did something I shouldn't have done, you know, or whatever, you know, and in that first run at it, you know, what comes up inside of me is a justification. And by the end, I could go to court and prove myself right, and, you know, I'd be all right. My problem is God's sitting there saying, yeah, what about me? You know, because you ain't going to get that story past me. And I know this. I know that my first response to this is because of a word my mother spoke. That's you know, there's an old Puritan scholar, and he talked about how much effort he put into the words that he would let drop as his children happened to come across his path during the day. And he said that he wanted his words to be monitory. See, that's one of those times when you need to get the dictionary out and find out what on earth this guy's talking about. But something that's monitory is something that gives direction. Okay, it monitors you. Okay, it gives direction. You know, and he would just, you know, want to drop these things. He said, this proves to me to be a matter of some labor and contrivance. And, you know, he talks about how much work he was putting into just these words that he would let drop. And, you know, moms are good for that, you know, and, you know, some are a little more verbal than others, but nonetheless, this whole idea of, you know, your children need to receive something, you know, and in the early years, it was mostly about just trying to control them. You go to the grocery store, and you don't have to see too many two-year-olds before you start understanding mom's main job right now is just controlling that little two-year-old. But there comes a point where you're never going to be able to wrestle them to the ground anymore because they're getting as big as you are, and by then, you got to hope that your words have become powerful in that child, okay? Now, if you haven't guessed it yet, we're not just talking about something that is invested in children for 18 years. It becomes a way of ministering. It becomes a way of God being able to put stuff inside of you that then is then, you know, going out and changing lives. You know, and there is a lot to be said about just a mothering approach to ministry, and that, you know, a good part of that is getting to the place where you hone that skill to be able to speak the right things. The word spoken in due season, how good it is, you know, that you're this ability to do this, all right? And so, you know, the actions and words of parents, you know. My favorite little cartoon on the subject was this picture of this huge auditorium with a big stage up there decorated with buntings and chairs and everything and a microphone, a podium and everything. And anyways, and there was this huge hall, all these chairs, and two people sitting in the front row. And it was the National Convention of Children with Normal Parents. Okay. So, anyways, you know, and so, you know, we do have these experiences. You know, we're raised by people that at best were sinners saved by grace. All right. You know, that, you know, they, you know, our parents weren't perfect. Moms, you know, if you're looking back on your life with your children saying, oh man, I should have done this different, I should have done that different. Just to understand, you're a rather large club because, you know, there is no mother who can come away from saying, yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, you know, there's, you know, that's just not available. All right. And so, but to understand two things. One is that, you know, my desire as a parent, your desire as a mother, you know, always is to invest your best in those children. But on the other side is to understand that even minus faithful parents, we still have a faithful God. You know, that we still have, that, like, there were difficult things that I dealt with my parents. All right. And it's interesting how, nonetheless, God used the way he brought me through those difficulties as powerfully as anything that he ever used that was just a sweet, wonderful, positive thing. Okay, let me say that again. Didn't get through to the back rows at all. Okay, so sometimes if you will go through a difficult set of circumstances, bad stuff, stuff that you think, man, that should have never happened, you know, regrettable things, that there is still this potential in God to use even that thing that happened that was so difficult for you, that was so wrong, that, you know, if I can along with it receive this thing from the grace of God, a faithful God can use even that for my good. It's either going to work for your good or your bad. All right? Some powerful, all right? Like, I don't know if you would recognize this, like, today, because, you know, I get up and speak and all that sort of thing, but I was bullied like crazy as a kid, all right? But I came through it okay somehow, you know? Somehow I really got to the other side of it, and a faithful God used all that bad experience to make me merciful. Ooh, but of course, you know the hard part was? The first time I had to be merciful with a bully. Oh, my. It was easy being merciful with the bullied. You know, because I could identify, man, yeah, let me help you out. But then I came across a bully. You know, it was in Teen Challenge, and I had this guy in the front, and I mean, and anyways, and I'm really struggling because he really needed the extension of some grace. And I think to myself, it is so obvious to this guy what a hard time I'm having with this. And I told him, I said, you have to understand, when I was in school, he says, yeah. I says, you were everything I hated. I said, I want you to understand that. I said, right now, what you need, what God's showing me you need, is the last thing in the world I want to give you. I said, but I know I need to, so I'm going to. You know, I know you need this, and so I know that I need to just walk in obedience to God and give you this grace, give you this one more chance and everything like that, even though I just, you know, oh my. I could just make you a representative of everything that I hated as a kid and just take it out on you right now. You know, like Jesus going to the cross, except this won't do any good. All right? He's taken all the sins that were committed against me and on himself, and I'm just going to, yeah. All right? But you need to think about that and just what a mother has to do in order to be a good mom, you know? Which a lot of it is getting past your own experiences, looking at those children and saying, you know what, there's a new generation. These are my kids. And I'm going to raise them different, you know, that ability to step outside yourself. And, you know, so you have the words and actions of your parents, good or bad, but with a faithful God in the picture, you know, this can still be a good story. You know, there's this this place over in James, and it talks about how we respond to the things, you know, that we hear. And it says, prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently into the perfect law, the law of liberty, all right, which is, you know, what Jesus gave to us, and abides by it. In other words, he lives by it. All right, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. All right, and so here's the thing, moms, that we're going to fight against here, is, you know, those words that you spoke, all right, because, you know, our job's not done. I think we all know this, all right? The words that we spoke, one of the most powerful influences that causes generational decline that we're fighting against as the kids grow older and raise their own kids and everything, all right, is that the next generation, they respect what you said and did, but they don't practice it, okay? Because, I mean, as a result of what we're talking about today, I want to encourage us to say, God, can you just remind me the things that you used my mom to teach me? Because I'd like to do a little repenting here, and I'd like to become a doer of the word. You know, this thing that she was trying to work in me, all right, that you have shown me was from you. You know, okay, I mean, you may have had some kind of tough things there that you know, you think I'd just like to leave that behind. But there were some things that God was trying to work in you through your mom. And God, could you just show me those things? What were those things that you were trying to work in me? And God, I want to be a doer of that word. I want to be a doer of what you were trying to use my mom to change in me. All right? Because your moms, just because you probably remember this, are very, very insightful about you. All right? So we get this one mom in the scriptures that, you know, I mentioned her earlier, Deborah. All right? And so let's talk more specifically here. She says, Deborah, she arose a mother in Israel. She mothered a nation, and she ended up delivering her nation from oppressors. All right, Judges 5:7, this is now the song that she and Barak, you know, who was the general, the leader that she worked with. And she says, the peasantry ceased, they ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Now, I guess I want to point to the fact that every leader around her who had any power, had any military prowess, and they're all men. But Deborah was wise. She did not try to become a father to her people. That might seem the easier path. Let me kind of push aside the whole feminine thing. Let's push aside the whole motherly thing. Let me just push that all aside, you know, and I'm going to be a father to these people. I'm going to try to be. But she came, and God put her there. This is before they had a king. Israel didn't have a king at this time, and God was their king, all right, and so God sent prophets, he sent judges, and Deborah was both. She was both a prophetess and a judge, All right, and she was judging Israel. So if people had problems, they brought them to her. How about that? Ain't that kind of where we all want to be as parents sometimes? Where, you know, that if they got a tough problem, bring it to us and, you know, let us help you with it. You know, let's, you know, speak a word. And that's who she was. All right, and God had put a gift in her that distinguished her within Israel. All right? What I want you to understand, moms, is that, you know, within your family structure, you know, God has given you a gift that distinguishes you. And that if you'll allow God to use that gift in your life, if you'll exercise it, your children will recognize something about God is at work in you. And that puts you in a better place, you know, to be able to deal with this issue where they're likely to respect what I said but not practice it. All right? Let's keep moving. All right, so at this time in the country, the peasants ceased to live in the villages because their leaders had ceased to be able to protect them. All right, so the villages were empty. All right, and all the peasants had come to live in the cities. All right, where they were fortified and where there's more chance for them to actually be protected. But this was a formula for poverty. All right, and so then Deborah arose and became a mother to her people. The people became hers. Okay. You know, we struggle with this idea of owning our children, but they became hers. They're her, you know, all of Israel became her children. All right? She became a mother to the whole nation. She cared, she judged, she led, the people were hers. And she delivered Israel, you know, because she did. At some point, in fact, she actually defers and says to Barak, look, God has told me, go fight this enemy and he'll give him into your hand. She was so powerful in this country by being a mother to them. Barak's like, no way. I'm not going up. Not at all. No, if you don't come, I'm not going. Forget it. And she says, look, if I go with you, they'll give me credit for the victory. Here's the difference between a mother and a father. A dad would have never had this conversation with Barak. Barak says, I'm not going without you. He's like, cool, let's go. The mother in her heart is saying, you know, I have built you up, I've invested in you, I've given you everything, I want so that you can succeed. Go succeed. Yeah. Yeah. That's a very different quality. I mean, most dads be like, yeah, let's go up and do it together and we'll both get credit for it or something like that. And she's like, no. You know, you're missing something here. But he refuses to go, so she goes and, yep, song's about her. Okay. So, God gives us parents, all right? He gives us mothers, he gives us fathers to bring us up. You know, I have a mother, Ellen Bolt, she lives in Florida, and, you know, you've met her, she's been here, it's been a while because she's decided she doesn't want to travel anymore, and that's, you know, sometimes that comes with some age. And we might get her up here a few more times, we'll see. But anyways, I mean, what a mother, oh my, she saved my life. You know, I mean, the number of times she listened to my whole story, those qualities that she had. All right, she was the second born. She's the oldest daughter, but second born in her family, the middle child, you know, and her younger sister was the talented one, and she was so pretty and all this kind of stuff, and her brother was the intelligent one who was so athletic, and, you know, she was kind of in the middle and saying, I'm just me and everything. But, you know, what that set of circumstances brought for her was that she was a very understanding person in the midst of all this. All right, and so she would listen, and she would comment, and she would emote, and you know, and she saved my life, right? Because I'm growing up in an environment where there isn't a lot of that, and I need some, all right? And, you know, so God gave me a mother. God gave me a really good, you know, biological mother who has been my mom and everything. But I've told you about that moment when she grabbed a hold of me and said, I don't understand, how did you become the person that you are? You know, because she knew that there were things that she could see in me that were not the results of things that she had contributed. You know, and I remember telling her, well, I said, mostly what you're seeing is Jesus. I said, but I did a lot of learning in the mirror. And she says, what do you mean? I says, you raise your right hand, what does the person in the mirror do? They raise their left. I says, yeah, there was things I needed to get away from. But then the next part of the story, which I decided not to tell her because I thought, eh, you know, it might you know, kind of hurt her feelings, something like that. I says, God gave me additional mothers. He gave me other women that needed to, you know, contribute, you know, to that side of what I needed in life. You know, we all need mothers and fathers. When I was at Teen Challenge, that was the thing I used to tell the staff. I said, please understand something. We are reparenting these people. We are taking them through the process of being raised all over again. And we're trying to see the things that got missed so that we can fill in those blanks by reparenting them. Now, that sounded cool to them. They're like, yeah, well, that's cool. You know, they wrote that down in their notebooks. But then I said, here's the other piece of that. Everybody needs a mom and a dad. Right. Problem was, the staff was 100% male because the program was 100%. We were a men's program, and so we all had men, and all the staff were all men. Somebody's going to have to be mom. You know, and somebody's got to be the patient person who listens to the whole story, you know. Somebody's got to be the person who fills that role, you know, the person who gives you assurance, you know, that if the whole world hates you, there's still one person left that loves you. You know, I mean, that's the role of a mom, you know. You've said it over and over and over again to them, all right? And you know, I know, Mom. I know. All right? And the reason they say this is because they do know. They know what you're saying, right? They know that repetition. They know that thing that just keeps coming out from you. But what I want you to understand is that thing that's become obvious, you might have to modify it. You might have to reshape it a little bit. But I would encourage you not to let go of it. But instead, to look for new people, new ways to invest yourself, you know, with that gift. Now, here's the other thing I'm going to encourage as moms to do, because you pretty much do this anyway, but start to really pray for your children. And if there's areas you feel like I really missed, don't force the door open, but pray, God, could you give me open doors? You know, could you give me open doors to my children to revisit some of these things in ways that are going to help them, in ways that are going to accomplish what you wanted this gift to accomplish in their lives? Because, you know, they had me as a mother, and I want them to have what you wanted them to have. And so, you know, so now I want to shift to the other side of the equation here, okay? Because here's Deborah being a mother in Israel. I think the greater miracle was Israel received it. They apparently received it. You know, for all the male-dominated societies of the time, here is somebody who rose a mother in Israel, and a nation received it, and ended up being delivered, you know, as a consequence of receiving this mother. And so I thought about, you know, that, you know, I take the last little bit here to talk a little bit to the rest of us that are men, women, and children, and, you know, and we're at this place, we've had mothers. And, you know, how do you respond to that? You know, because this nation received it. How do we respond to the people that God raises up to bring us up? All right, because you go back to that scripture over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. First thing, bring them up, right? That our parents were given to us not to knock us down, but to bring us up. And actually, you know, if you read that in the Greek, you know what it means? Bring them up. Yeah, it really does. You know, the English was real good on this. It means to lift them. You know, the whole world's going to try to knock some people down. And, you know, that mothering thing, you know, it's like to bring them up instead. And my mom could bring me up with a cup of hot chocolate and some cookies in ways that nothing else could. You know, but it was her words. It was her presence that made all that work. So how should we respond to the people that God raises up to bring us up? Honor, okay, that it may go well with you. You know, when people used to come to the office, the Lord showed me the scripture and just made it like, of course. You know, and people say, my life's a mess, and it's going 6,000 wrong directions, and, you know, nothing's working for me. Oh, you know. And people think I was nuts, but I said, can I ask you a question? What's your relationship like with your mom and dad? Why do you ask? And I says, because last I checked, the Bible says that if you honor them, it'll go well with you. And I says, it's not going well with you, so I'm kind of curious. Deuteronomy says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Okay. Well, you know, my mother, my father, they weren't so good, this, that, and blah, 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 blah. Did God say honor your father and mother because they were so good? So we all get this loud and clear. There are things God tells us to do just because he told us to do them, don't matter what the circumstances are. And so, I mean, there are times where my dad is, I was like the polar opposite of my dad. And, so we were going to butt heads on a pretty regular basis. And when I got saved and God started leading me into the Word and I saw this thing where I'm supposed to honor my father, I looked and it says, God commands you. I'm like, huh? I think this is not going to be an easy thing. And I had to go to God and say, God, please teach me. How do I honor this man? I didn't go to him and say, it seems so unfair, God, let me off the hook. Can't you just make an exception? Say, honor your father and your mother, except Don Bolt. I mean, it's like, seems easy enough to just throw that in the scriptures and, it's problem solved, Not at all. God commanded me. He said, you honor your father and your mother because I've commanded you. If you have no other reason for honoring those people. And the first thing God taught me to do was take it easy on my father. Stop telling all the bad stories about the things that had transpired between he and I. I'm even stepping across the night to share with what I'm sharing you right now, but I think it's valid to share this with you. But I mean, and he said, actually the words he used was, hey, leave your father standing. Because I would just, annihilate him and just, make him responsible for everything that ever gone wrong in my life. And it was like, leave him standing, leave him some respect, leave him some room to have some dignity here, And it was like, yes, sir. All right. So honor them. I remember the time that there may go well with you, is the Lord's commanded, that your days may be prolonged and it may go well with you on the land the Lord gives you. All right, and by the way, that is the first commandment that God gave with a promise attached to it. All right, because he told us, no idols. He told us no other gods. He told us don't use the Lord's name in vain and honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He told us everything we're supposed to do concerning God himself and never made one promise. Then he says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. Puts a promise attached to it. First commandment with a promise attached to it is this one that he commands us to honor fathers and mothers. And so here's the whole thing is that, if you got easy parents, God bless you. That make you the two people in the front row of that convention, Okay? But honor them. Find the honorable thing and honor it, right? Ask God for help when then do not forsake. All right, Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right, so, okay, good. I believe this is good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'm thinking, yes. Here's Solomon teaching his kids wisdom, his son. The book he keeps talking about boys, that's because he wrote the book for his son. It's applicable for boys and girls. And moms can teach it to children as well. But it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Yes. Okay. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Yes. Okay. Hear my son, the father's instruction, don't forsake your mother's teaching. It's really speaking weakly to say that God is implying something here. God is flat out telling us. You know what? You want to get into this, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Tell you what, honor your father and your mother first. Actually, that's what the Jews believe about that. They actually think that the fifth commandment of honor your father and mother was the last commandment concerning relationship with God. We tend to look at it as the first commandment concerning human relationships, but they look at it as the final, the capstone of how to honor God, was because the way you learn to this thing about submitting to God and making the fear of him the beginning of your knowledge and wisdom is by demonstrating that with your parents. By the way, God's hard to get along with sometimes. God says so, right? I'm just telling you. All the time? How many times has God told you to do something and you went, yeah, all right? as opposed to God told you to do something, it's like, wow, how am I going to do that? Right? So to please understand that this relationship that you're going through with mothers and fathers, moms, those difficulties you had when they were resisting you all the time, they were supposed to be learning to submit themselves then to God so that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of their knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and don't forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Those are signs of royal favor that were given to people. All right, there's this other scripture that's a parallel to this in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. It says, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching. That word teaching, by the way, is law of your mother. All right, so you have the commandment of the father, the law of the mother. You have the commandments of God and you have the law of Moses. Yeah. So what I want you, and the law was added because of transgressions, all right? So wait a minute. So there's this thing that children learn from moms and dads. You get this commandments. This is how the house is going to be. This is how our relationships are going to be. And then the moms take that, and they spot the transgressions, and they begin to put teaching, law, if you will, statutes, you know, to, you know, the things that they see that are opposing that direction, all right? And so, and God makes the point that I was making earlier, which is that this was our instruction to bring us into right relationship with God. All right, this, you know, seeing that I have this commandment from somebody who's a little more distant from me, you know, then I have this law being given to me by somebody who's right here with me and is instructing me daily in how to live it out. All right, and that there is this powerful thing that's going on, and what God was doing with you and your parents and moms, if you're one of the, you're sitting here, you know, what God was doing through you with your children, all right, is a parallel to what he did with his people Israel. All right, he gave them commandments, and then he gave them a lawgiver who gave law to them. And in essence, really, Moses' position was much more like mom. All right? You know, giving instruction, giving wisdom, you know, speaking in, you know, getting them back to this place where they're in line with the commandments. So then I thought, you know, it says don't forsake, you know, this. All right, so how should we not forsake it? And in verse 21 of this Proverbs 6 scripture here, it says, bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. Right? Bind them continually on your heart. You know, how do we bind things on our heart? You know, I mean, I tend to memorize things that I want to make sure are there, you know. You know, if it's something that I don't want to forget, you know, I'll write it down somewhere, you know. I revisit it. I was going to cough. Sorry. Yeah, I revisit it. You know, there's times that I will spend, if I know that something is supposed to be in my heart and isn't, right? There are times that I will spend sitting quietly, talking with God, considering my heart, and just saying, God, help me. How do I get this in my heart so that it's always there? You know, and well, God and I have conversations, kind of like the conversations I used to have with my mom, you know, and God will speak something, and all of a sudden I realize it's there now. It's there now. You know, the word had to become mine, had to become the possession of my heart so that it would always be bound on my heart. Now here's the blessing. Tie them around your neck. You know, when I first started looking for Christians, there were some Christians I was very impressed with that wore these big wooden crosses around their neck. So I carved myself one of those crosses, put it on a cord, and hung it around my neck. And anyways, at some point at work, they wouldn't let me wear it on the outside of my clothes. I wore it underneath my clothes. It looked really strange because there's a great big wooden cross like sticking out through my clothes. And I'll bring it in sometime. I still have it. And but it was just, you know, this idea of that there are some things that we tie around our necks. You know, I think the cell phone today is that. I don't know, maybe there's an app for this. Is there? I don't know. Type in on apps, tie it around my neck, you know, see what it says. But here's the blessing, folks. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. You know that conversation we have in our heart? What if that conversation became all those things that God was trying to work through our moms into our lives, and that's what talked to us in the morning over coffee, even though I don't drink coffee. For the commandment is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and reproofs and discipline are the way of life. We all want to go to Disney World, but reproofs and discipline are the way of life, okay? So I want to suggest something. Blessing the one who blesses you, it's not automatic, right? Moms know this intuitively. Proverbs says that your children will rise up and bless you, and you're still waiting for that day, you know. But, you know, sometimes Mother's Day becomes an opportunity to address this. And I want to just go to Proverbs 31, and it says, her children rise up and bless her. Can I just say, if you got a mother in your life, make sure you call her today, and maybe, like, put it on your calendar to call her on a little more regular basis and just bless her. You know, I actually bless my mother over the phone. I don't mean just bless her in the sense that I called her and she's blessed that I called. I mean, I actually bless her, all right? So it says her husband also, and he praises her. Both in your mother's presence and behind her back, you know, could you praise her? Isn't that a wonderful moment at some point when somebody says, hey, I met your kid and they said this about you and it's good? You know, I mean, my son went and taught my parenting class and a couple of people shared, you know, things that he said. And I was like, that's really cool. But and then this last piece, give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You know, if I could just, say that that this is, I think, one of the things that is important, you know, is to make sure that whatever it is that your mom's doing, that if nobody else is rewarding her, you know, take note of that. Bob Elhart, one of my heroes, he was at Bethel for a lot of years, and he would look for people that were going unappreciated. And he would get like, $5 gift cards from Wegmans or something, I don't know. And he'd put them in a little envelope, and he'd walk up to people that were serving faithfully and being totally unnoticed. And he would just say, you know, Bob was a character. I'm sorry. He was great, you know. Hey, look, you know, it's so sorry. And I've been just watching you. So, look, you know, this is something for you, okay? Like that. And he'd walk away, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. Like forever, you know, people would come up because they know how close he was to me. He used to call himself my Dutch uncle, you know, and never questioned him on what he meant by that. But but they would come up to me and say, man, he gave me a card one day, changed my life. You know, I was serving and doing something, and I thought, like, nobody knew that I was doing it. And one day he walked up and just handed me this little card, and, you know, and it's like, you know, but give them the product of their hands, you know, and let their works praise them in the gates. Okay, the gates is where you went when you had a public issue, all right? Can I encourage you that from time to time make it a public issue, the things you appreciate about that mom? You know, because this is how we're supposed to treat moms. You know, we did a little bit about moms and their role in our lives, but this is how we're supposed to treat moms. You know, is to praise them behind their back. You know, praise them when, you know, praise the things that they did in their lives, okay? And, you know, the last point that I have here is that bringing up the ones who brought you up, recognition and thanks go a long way, you know? And so we're going to, I don't see the kids gathering by the door there, but I asked, can somebody just go fetch the Children's Church kids, because they're going to come and help us distribute these roses, okay? And
thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.